The following message is brought to you by Charles L. King, Jr., pastor of First Baptist Church, West College Hill. If you need additional information, visit firstbaptistchurchwch.org.
Lord, right now, I love you. Say more than anything. Say it all over the building, I love you. Oh yeah, I worship and I adore you. I just want to tell you, Lord, right now, more than, woo, say it like you mean it, I love you. I worship and I adore you. I just want and need to tell you, Lord, I love you more than. When last time? Oh yeah, and I just want to tell you, Lord, I love you more than anything. I just want to tell you that, Lord, I love you more than anything. Father God, Lord, we come right now in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Lord, we've come declaring the best we can that we love you. But Lord, we know that the ultimate love was shown by you when you gave your only begotten Son to die on the cross for the sins of all mankind. Lord, we thank you. Lord, the Bible says that greater love hath no man than to lay down his life for a friend. We thank you. Oh, we declare we love you, but Lord, we love you because you first loved us. And Lord, we know that you have, there is no greater love. There is no greater love. And so we just simply want you to know that we love you. We're not always so lovable, but we love you. Hallelujah. Lord, it is our hope and it is our prayer that everything that has been done thus far has been pleasing unto your sight. Lord, we've been simply trying to set up an atmosphere for you to dwell. Lord, we didn't come here to be seen, but we've come to see you. Father God, we know that our coming would be in vain if your presence were not here. Lord, we couldn't sing without power. We couldn't preach without power. We couldn't do whatever we tried to do without your power and the anointing. So Lord, we thank you. Lord, forgive us for our many, many sins, our weaknesses, our shortcomings, mistakes that we've made, wrongs that we've done. Even now, somebody, Lord, is struggling. They want to say they love you, but they're struggling with how they feel like you are loving on them. Somebody, they're almost accusing you of child abuse by withholding a praise. But Lord, we thank you. We thank you. Matter of fact, we thank you, Lord, for knowing us better than we know ourselves. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So, Lord, help us to follow the way. Help us to, we always want to know, what would Jesus do? Jesus would honor the Father. Jesus would tell the Father, thank you. And Jesus would say, Lord, nevertheless, not my will, but thine will be done. Lord, as I stand as your vessel, be ever so pleased to think with my mind, speak with my mouth. As a matter of fact, hide me that you would be seen, and silence me that you would be heard. And we'll be ever so careful to give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory. It is truly in Jesus' name and for Christ's sake that we pray. And together we say amen. Jeremiah 6:16. I'm going to do something a little different today. We have a number of translations, and I had to read through a number of translations to finally get, as the Holy Spirit was working on me, to preach this text, and I simply asked for your prayers. But I'm going to ask if we could mark your Bibles. But I want us to read in unison from the screen. I want us to read in unison from the screen. Jeremiah 6:16, and then it will flow right into Jeremiah 8:4-5. The reason I want us to do that is because I've read it in the King James, I've read it in the New King James, and I know what it says. I've read it in the NIV, I've read it in the New Living Translation, but then I came across this one here, and this one jumped out at me, and this is what the Holy Spirit had me to build upon here in the Living Bible. So if you're ready, I'm going to just simply ask that we read it all together. It will be Jeremiah 6:16, Jeremiah 8:4-5, all together. On today, for just a little while on this Father's Day, we want to talk about wrong turns, wrong roads, and dead ends. You may be seated in the presence of our God. Wrong turns, wrong roads, and dead ends. Once again, for your hearing, it says, yet the Lord pleads with you still. Ask where the good road is. The godly paths you used to walk in the days of long ago. Travel there and you will find rest for your souls. When a person falls, he jumps up again. When he is on the wrong road and discovers his mistake, he goes back to the fork where he made the wrong turn. Lord, help me to preach on today. Story is told, my brothers and my sisters, of a man and his wife who had just moved to a new town. The gentleman was coming home from his first day at work, and as he was driving down the highway, his cell phone rings. He picks up the phone, and it's his wife. She says, George, I just had to call you, baby, and tell you, be careful. She said, I just heard on the radio that some nut has turned down the off-ramp and is now driving the wrong way down Highway 208. George says, oh my goodness, you know, I was gonna call you too. He said, you know what? I'm on 280, all right? He says, I'm on Highway 280 or 208, and he says, but I need to tell you, it's not just one car going in the wrong direction. Says there's hundreds of them going in the wrong direction. Says, I can't believe we moved to a town where so many people don't have a good sense of direction. My brothers and my sisters, you've probably never made that big of a mistake on the road. But most of us, if we're honest, most of us have made some wrong turns here and there through our life. Am I talking to somebody? I mean, Angela usually does the navigating when we drive for just that reason. I have almost no sense of direction. I'm just being honest. I could probably get lost in a parking lot if I don't go out the same way that I came in. Amen. But fortunately, Deacon Griffith, most wrong turns are no big deal if you're willing to trace your steps back to where you might have left the wrong road, or maybe if you are willing just to simply stop and ask for some directions. Why? Because sometimes, hear me today, sometimes taking a wrong turn can be serious business. It can be so serious, especially when you're talking about the road of life. In Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, you don't have to go there. It should be familiar to you. Jesus shares that every one of us is walking down one of two roads. He says one is a wide road that leads to death. Come on, somebody. And the other is a narrow road that leads to life. In other words, Jesus was implying that making a wrong turn in life is not just an inconvenience. Come on, somebody. But it could be disastrous to the point of having eternal consequences. On this Father's Day, Belle, certainly want to talk to and address the fathers and men and sons and brothers, etc. But my message this morning can speak to any number of us in here. And let me just say this to somebody, because I know that there's some church folk, maybe not in here, but in some church folk, they come in and the message is never for them. It's always for somebody they wish they was here to hear it. So even if this isn't for you, all of us at least know somebody, a person or two, have made some devastatingly wrong turns in their life. Am I talking to anybody in here? And on top of that, like most people who have made a wrong turn in life, they didn't realize the danger until it was ultimately almost or became too late. As I attempt to weave together this passage from Jeremiah 6:16 and Jeremiah 8:4-5, I hope that you and I can learn to avoid some wrong turns, or better yet, if you've made a wrong turn, because there's some folk who don't realize that they made a wrong turn, we want to try to either avoid them or at least find out that you can turn around before it is eternally too late. Let me begin by pointing out a very real danger about wrong turns in life, and that is the first point. If you're taking notes, you can write this down. Sometimes a wrong turn looks like the only option. Sometimes a wrong turn looks like the only option. Like I said earlier, whether it's you or someone you know, there are many of people who have made some serious wrong turns. What do you mean by wrong turns, Pastor King? Well, that equates to some bad choices or some bad decisions. Some bad choices or some bad decisions that they've made in their life. And they're always a bad choice or a bad decision, especially when you choose to disobey the commandments of God. Then all of a sudden, you find yourself, if you've been there, I've been there, you find yourself stuck between a rock and a hard place. To some people, Reverend Finley, they may feel like taking a wrong turn is their only option. Well, what are you saying, Pastor King? I don't understand what you mean when you say that. Well, what I'm saying is you know what's right and wrong. Come on, somebody. You know what's right and wrong, but if we're honest, amen, we have to admit that sometimes it seems like that we have no choice but to take a wrong turn. I mean, you want to tell the truth, But you feel like if I tell the truth, it could cause more trouble than what you think it's worth. Listen, you want to be honest, but being less frank or being less straightforward or being less candid or truthful would be a whole lot easier and maybe less hassle. Or what about when you lose your anger and your anger gets away from you and you say some harsh things, some unloving things, and you think, but what else could I have done? I mean, if folk acted right, come on somebody, if they weren't getting on your last nerves, if they weren't always in your face nitpicking with you, I mean, what choice did you have? Amen. Backed you in a corner, amen. Maybe your past choices, maybe your pride, maybe your haughtiness, maybe even the devil himself, maybe even a combination of all of them have told you that your options were limited. In other words, something or someone has spoken to you in your spirit and says, listen here, you have no choice but to make a wrong turn. I mean, what else could you do? Well, here's the what else. You could actually do what's right. Amen. I mean, no matter how hot the pressure gets or how big the problem becomes, you always have at least one other choice than making a wrong turn. And that's doing what's right. That's obeying God, denying yourself, taking up your cross, and following him. That's always an option. I'm talking to somebody. See, there's some people, even when they get to that dark, dark moment in their lives, they say, what other option do I have? Well, there's always another option because you can always do what you ought to do. And somebody's saying, but how is that possible? Because I'm at the greatest point, the tipping point of my despair. I'm at the tipping point of my despondency. I'm at the tipping point of having gotten to a point in my life. I don't feel like not only did I have no choices, I have no options. Well, 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, no temptation has overtaken you, except as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted, watch this, beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will always make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Well, take that down and then tie it together. That was 1 Corinthians 10:13. But when you have time, link that together, if not you, for somebody else. 2 Peter 2:9. The Bible says that the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations. Teach, Holy Ghost. God not only can, but God will help you to do what's right. Even when it seems that your only option is to make or take a wrong turn. Don't forget, I'm talking to somebody, don't forget, no matter how limited you think your options seem, you can always choose to do what's right, just like you can choose not to. Yes, it is a choice. You can choose to do what's right, just like you can choose not to. But be careful blaming other things and other people for the choice that you made. Listen, you don't have to take, you don't have to take a wrong turn in life. But if you do, be sure of this, my second point. A wrong turn will lead down a wrong road. a wrong turn will lead down a wrong road. There's one thing that most men hate to do. What is it? Oh, no, no, that's too much. That's too big. No, stop. Don't y'all say nothing. And if you're sitting next to somebody, quit elbowing. Mm-mm. But if it's one thing, I'm sure y'all saying it's more than one. I know. But if there's at least one thing that men hate to do, it's ask for directions. Not in here, no brothers. I heard some sisters almost shout up in here. We would rather go off in the wrong direction and go miles out of the way than to admit that we don't know where we're going. But let me bring us all back in here. And let me ask you. Has the road that you've traveled thus far taken you to where you thought you would be today? I'll ask it again, write it down. Has the road that you've traveled thus far taken you to where you thought you would be today? Now, the answer can be yes, it can be no. I see some folks thinking it might be a not yet, but for some, you might be simply saying, I don't know. Let me ask you another question. Do you feel that you are dwelling in the perfect will of God for your life? Or do you feel that something is lacking and that your destination has eluded you, but is still out there? I'll ask it again. Come again. I said, do you feel that you are dwelling in the perfect will of God for your life? Or do you feel that something is lacking and that your destination has eluded you, but is still out there? Now, I've asked the media team to help me with this because we read Jeremiah 6:16, and we coupled it with Jeremiah 8:4-5. Now, you can look in your Bibles, but I'm going to have them put it up there. Now, in the words of Paul Harvey, let's tell the rest of the story. Teach, Holy Ghost. Let's look at Jeremiah 6:16 in its entirety. It says, yet the Lord pleads with you still. Ask where the good road is. Still in the living Bible. It says, ask where the good road is, the godly paths you used to walk in and the days of long ago. Travel there and you will find rest for your souls. We cut it off there. Here's the rest. But you reply, no, that is not the road we won't. See, a lot of folk won't read that part of the verse. See, we won't admit. We sit in church, we look good. Dressed up real nice. Saying, yes, I'll go to church, but every day we're telling the Lord, Lord, that's not the road I want. Let's look at Jeremiah 8:4-5. We read, when a person falls, he jumps up again. When he is on the wrong road and discovers his mistake, he goes back to the fork of the road where he made the wrong turn. Let's look at the rest of the story. But these people keep on going along the evil path, even though I warn them. There's some people who struggle with the why. When some folk get to that point of despondency, And I declare while we're studying and where we're trying to get to somebody before they get to that point, really only that person has the answer why. But for most people, for anybody who has successfully committed the thing called suicide, they're not even here to tell the story. Even people who have tried and not been successful can't tell you about the why of somebody that was. But we got to be careful when we say, I wish I had known. You don't know if you would have been able to intervene, not when somebody has truly made up their mind. Even God himself has said to some folk, he says, listen, you have become such to a point to where I have turned you over to yourself. As you and I stand at a proverbial fork in the road of life daily, hear me today, we must realize that all roads don't lead to the same place. But all roads do lead somewhere. Amen. We must learn to inquire of God which way he wants us to go. You and I must realize, hear me today, that God will allow us to take the wrong road if we choose to go that way. You see, God knows. He knows where you are, and he knows where you're going. But he is also ever attempting to persuade your will to turn and follow him and his will. But we are not always listening, and too often we find ourselves somewhere out in left field, having completely missed the will of God. The real tragedy, however, comes when a person makes a wrong turn, gets on the wrong road, and then comes to the end of the road, because my third point is, the wrong road will eventually lead you to a dead end. Now, that's a big word. It's either one word or two. Did you see what I said? It's either one word, dead end, or two that says dead end. It's hard to believe. Think about this. When we think about some people that we know, who started out so well, yet end up so bad. The thing is, my brothers and my sisters, that if you follow the wrong road, if you follow it long enough, you will meet a dead end. Sometimes it could be morally, could be relationally, it could be spiritually, it could be financially, it could be physically, or literally, for some folk, they have reached a dead end. The thing is, my brothers and my sisters, there are a lot of people who take the wrong turn. They know that they're on the wrong road, but they continue down the path anyway. But then there are some others who eventually find it out, but sometimes they find it out too late that they're headed down a dead end. First and foremost, I want to stress to all of us today, all of us, to some husband, some son, some brother, some nephew, some uncle, etc. But I also want to stress to some mother, to some wife, some daughter, some sister, some niece, some aunt, or just simply somebody, that is not too late. That is, while the blood is still running warm in your veins and there's still breath in your body, it's not too late for you to make a right turn today. Yes, maybe you've made some wrong turns. Amen. There are no perfect people. There are no perfect churches. And you're not going to get yourself perfect and then say, I'm going to get back to church. Mm-mm. it's not too late for you to make a right turn. And maybe you've made some wrong turns. Maybe you know that you're not on the right road, but you haven't reached the dead end yet. Thank God. The Lord is speaking to you, whoever you are, from the pulpit to the door. He's speaking to you right now. He's saying that today is the day that you can choose life. But here it is. You have to choose it. It's a choice. You must choose it, or you may realize too late that your life will wind up in a dead end. So I got to ask somebody, will you choose life today? There's somebody here up under the sound of my voice who's still struggling about why they're still here. There's somebody here up under the sound of my voice who's trying to figure out, Lord, why did you wake me up this morning? That was his choice, but now it's your choice to live life. It's not too late right now, today, for you to make a wrong turn. It's not too late for you to get right, get on the right road. Deuteronomy 30, 19, and I'm almost through. It says, I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you that I have set before you life and death, blessings and cursings. Therefore, choose life that both, watch this, you and your descendants may live. When you have time, read it, Deuteronomy 30, 19. My brothers and my sisters, as I get ready to close, the people of Israel in Jeremiah's day would not hear the trumpet that was blown by the prophets of God. They would not heed the warnings. And because of this, Israel was defeated. You and I must learn from their mistakes and not do the same thing. God wants us to forgive, to forget, and to move on today. Yes, we still have a choice, but let's choose. Let's choose the old paths of righteousness. Let's choose holiness. Let's choose sanctification. Let's choose the road that leads to the perfect will of God for ourselves, our descendants, our families, our communities, our churches, and even generations coming behind us. We must choose to walk in love. We have to choose to walk in obedience to the word of God. And only then, there's some people struggling trying to make ends meet, but only when we choose to walk in love, and only when we choose to walk in obedience to the will and the word of God, only then can we expect the road to take us to the place of rest in God, where the blessings of God can literally overtake us. It says, yet the Lord pleads with you still. Ask where the good road is, the godly paths you used to walk in. In the days of long ago, travel there, and you will find rest for your souls. When a person falls, he jumps up again. When he is on the wrong road and discovers his mistake, he goes back to where he made the wrong turn. Stand to your feet. Once again, there's something I want us to read in unison. As we get ready to open up the doors of the church, again, I've asked the media team to help me. There's a prayer I want us to pray. It just simply says, all together, you can read it up on the screen. Father, You have given us your word, the Bible, as a roadmap for life. You have given us your son, Jesus, who told us he is the way. You have given us your Holy Spirit, whom Jesus promised would lead us into all truth. Help me to recognize some of the wrong turns I am prone to make, and help me learn to stay on the right road. For those who need to start the journey on the narrow road today, I pray you will show them the danger they are in and give them the courage to turn around and come to Christ. For all you have done for us and all you will do today, I praise you and thank you. In the mighty name of Jesus the Christ, amen. The doors of the church are open. Today, on this Father's Day, a day in the celebration of earthly fathers, but every day is the day that we should celebrate our Heavenly Father. He's been better to us than we could ever be to ourselves, and what a father he is, that he cares for his children. I am grateful to be a child of God, not just created by God. All of us were created by God. But I am grateful to be a child of God. How do you get to do that? The Bible says you have to confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead. Again, sometimes we overthink the Christian faith and the Christian walk. It's really very plain and very simple. Hinting on it last week, I hinted in it today. You're either on one of two roads. You're either on a wide road or a narrow road. You're either saved or lost. You're either a sheep or goat. You're either a friend of God or an enemy. There is no in between. That's it. The challenge is when we come into the house, the Bible says man judges the outward appearance, but God searches the heart. And so while there are a number of people all over the city, all over the world who fill up church houses, just like they were discussing this morning about Pharisees and Sadducees, and sometimes the Bible says that they will know you are my disciples because you love the brethren. And so I get that. But really, you can't tell when folk get in church who's saved and who's lost. Don't be fooled by big Bibles. Don't be fooled by big Bible attendance. Mm-mm. God says, I know your heart. Even in the scripture says, listen. Your lips say these things, but your heart is far from me. Your lips say, I'm going to church, but your heart is still far from me. The best thing that could happen today is you, and you know who you are, give your life to Christ. That's all we're trying to do. Get a life. One, we will stand and rejoice with the angels in heaven. When people come down, we don't know their reason for coming. Only in their disclosure do we know that. All we do is if you're coming to Christ, we rejoice with the angels in heaven. If you're coming for a conviction and for whatever it is, for comfort, we stand with the angels and we comfort. But you should come right now. You can come to Christ as part of your soul salvation. You can come to Christ because he says, I will give you rest. But for somebody, you need to come. You need to come for strength. You need to come for encouragement. You need to come and quit relying upon some of those other things that are filling up your time and your mind. Social media, the news, the rhetoric, even sports has filled up our minds and our time. And so much time has passed that you have no idea what kind of distance you've traveled. Just like that text message they say that you send when you are driving. You have no idea the distance that you've actually traveled unbeknownst to your subconscious mind. Because you needed to send a text that said, I'll be right there. And for somebody, as a matter of fact, there was a woman, I believe she's in the news. I don't know if she was just convicted or actually sentenced from killing two people as a result of sending a text message. What is the message that God has gotten to you? The Bible says, he that hath an ear, hear what the Spirit says to the church. Will you come? Will you come right now? Will you come right now? Will you come right now? That's why we're here. Heed the word of God. Heed the word of God. Heed the word of God. We're not here to judge. There's only one righteous judge. Amen. Heed the word of God. We all need help.
Thank you for listening to this message brought to you by First Baptist Church, West College Hill. If this word inspired you, please consider sharing it. We ask that you do not alter the content without permission. We invite you to firstbaptistchurchwch.org. Inquiries can be submitted at info@firstbaptistchurchwch.org. Our mailing address is 6210 Betts Avenue, Cincinnati, Ohio, 45224. Or you can call our offices at 513-681-1011. First Baptist Church, West College Hill, reaching the world without sacrificing the message. First Baptist Church, West College Hill, reaching the world without sacrificing the message.